There's a lost soul who's tired of his sinning.
You are listening to the Daily Doctrine Devotional. This is a daily podcast designed to teach and preach Bible doctrine each weekday throughout the year. This is Evangelist Tim McVeigh asking you to please let others know about this podcast so that they can subscribe or tune in each weekday. At the end of the podcast, we will provide you with subscription information as well as contact information for our ministry. Thank you for listening, and we pray that the Lord will help each of us as we study and preach the Word of God.
And the saints all with gladness are singing the glorious song of the redeemed. Song of the redeemed.
He said, "Give me the portion that falleth unto me." And in Luke 15, he went out. He lived his life in riotous living. And I know I preach this here. I preach this everywhere. I preach it every day if I could. The Bible said there was a certain man. It's an absolute. It's in the parable. He said, a certain man. God knows who he is. God knows the situation. He had two sons. The Word of God said this, verse 12 of Luke 15. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. He took everything he had coming to him. He took his upbringing. He took his raising. He took his substance. And he went and he lived riotously. He squandered it on foolishness. And so many have gone out. The safety of their home, the safety of the father, the safety of the church, the safety of their marriage. And they've gone out foolishly and live riotously.
Yes, sir.
And they all say, "Give me that I may go." They want the blessings of their parents. They want the blessings of the church. They want the blessings of everyone. Out of God's will at best. Missing what God has for them. Damned forever at worst. Why? Because they wanted what they wanted. And nobody was going to tell them. Let me just tell you the reason I preach this. If I preach this 100 times, I've preached it once. Is because that was me. Raised in church, raised under a King James Bible, raised in holiness, raised where I was taught, raised where I was instructed, raised where I was shown the good things of God, raised in a clean home. We lived in poverty, but we were too poor to know it. My mother always put food on the table. My mother sewed up my clothes. She'd glue the soles on my bobos and my fish heads. She'd make sure I got to school on time. She watched out for me, cared for me, was a good mother to me. But that wasn't enough. I was not satisfied with what God had provided for me. The problem that many have is they just can't be content with what they have. He said, "I want more." So what did God do? Gave him more and then took it away. Can I say it's a mercy of God that God would take it away from you?
Amen.
It's the mercy of God that he'd bring you low.
Amen.
In a hope that you might look up.
Amen.
Man's flat on his back with his back broke, staring at the ceiling, coming to himself. As an opportunity to come to himself.
Yeah.
I've been at the nursing homes and had people curse me They're on their deathbeds. I've had them curse me in wheelchairs, had them curse me because they've lost their ability to speak. And they've cursed. I had a man one day with his TTY device, and he's cursing me as he's typing in, telling me to get out of his room. Reading books this thick, intellectual. Man obviously had a great mind, but had lost the ability to speak. And I started speaking of Christ. He cursed me. And from his calamity, he cursed. I've seen him on the streets in many years in the ministry with the homeless and the rescue missions. I've seen him despondent. And I've seen them curse and mock the name of Jesus Christ. I've seen them without anything, and yet they curse and spit in the face of God. The very God that could give them life. The very God that would bring them out of their calamity. The very God that would set them up in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. And they've cursed him and mocked him and scoffed at his name.
Right.
He went out because he wasn't content with what he had.
Right.
And by the way, young ladies, this could be you too.
Yep. Yes, sir.
I just need something more.
Yep.
And if you're not satisfied with what you have, you are not right with God. You can just say amen on that.
Amen.
Changing your location, changing your position, changing what you have is not going to benefit you one bit.
No.
A lot of people say, well, if I just maybe move here and we'll have this blessing and that blessing. No, if you can't be content where you are, if you can't be content single, you're going to be miserable in your marriage.
Right.
You can't be content in your marriage, you're going to be miserable in your divorce.
Yeah. How about that one?
Not content with your wife, you'll go destroy some other woman.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Amen, amen.
Amen.
Right.
By the way, I'm not speaking tonight, no offense. Came here to preach.
Yeah.
Just feel like preaching.
Yeah. Good.
I've watched a generation underneath my ministry die and go to hell. Is it my fault? Probably. But every one of them will stand before God and give an account of themselves because they were miserable in the lives that they had created for themselves without God. And whether it's religious or non-religious. I've said in this pulpit many times, I watched the young people at Youth Week come through, and we prayed for many the other night in prayer meeting. I've watched about the dozens come through. They taste that little bit of goodness. They see the rejoicing. They see the joy in the saints of God, and they find there's something they want more than that. And they go out and they live riotously. Young ladies today, not even 30 years old, been here at Youth Week, divorced, remarried, divorced. Children out of wedlock, raised in the house of God. Some of them preachers' daughters. Got some gay dance and marching, gay pride praise, preacher's daughter. They didn't like what they saw. They weren't content with such things as they had. I tell you why a young man a lot of times will go out, he'll blame his parents for his misery. Anybody know who Peggy Koval is? Nobody. You know why? Well, you never heard of her. Peggy Koval was a missionary's daughter in the Philippines. When the Japanese invaded, they came into Manila, and the school where her parents were, the mission school, they took her parents and held them along with her and her siblings and other family members and Americans. Her father would not leave when they warned Japan is going to attack. You need to leave. He would not leave. He said, we have a mission here. And after several days of trying to reason and argue, finally the Japanese commander pulled his sword out, took them out to the flagpole, tied her parents to the flagpole, and cut their heads off. Peggy Koval was able, because she was young enough, by mercy, to be shipped to Hawaii and finally returned to the United States. She went to Colorado. There in Colorado, in a home where she stayed with other women, they were close to a Japanese prisoner of war camp. And so she volunteered to do first aid and medical and to help feed them and things. And she would go down to the prisoner of war camp, the same people that had killed her parents. And she would minister to the men there. One of those men, he was a Yamaguchi, and I'm not sure which one. But he spoke of being shot down and before he could commit harakiri, which is to disembowel himself, as the manner of the Japanese was. He was taken captive by the Americans. And he was devastated. He would not give his life for his emperor. And he wrote and spoke multiple times in his writings of this American girl who would come and would teach us and tell us of forgiveness. And something he had never heard of. To him and the Japanese, it was revenge. There is no such thing as revenge, as a forgiveness. It was revenge. I'm going to avenge those that have hurt me. And when he spoke with Mitsuo Fuchida, he told him, this young lady who had this idea that you wouldn't have to take vengeance for slights. You wouldn't have to take vengeance for hurts. You wouldn't have to try to hurt those that hurt you. But through a man who had forgiven her, you also could learn to forgive. He could not wrap his mind around that. But Fuchida did. During the Japanese war crimes trial, somebody in a prison slipped up, and Mr. Yamaguchi, the pilot, was able to get a hold of a large enough knife to go ahead and finally disembowel himself. And he perished, never finding forgiveness. They killed her parents in front of her, took her prisoner, abused her, and she learned how to forgive.
Amen.
And there's folks in this room that can't forgive. Little slights and indifferences and hurts.
Right.
You say you don't know my upbringing. You don't know my upbringing.
Right.
You don't know anybody else's upbringing. There's men I know have been horribly abused, vilely abused. Women I know who were perversely abused as children.
Right.
Yet they found the forgiveness in the person of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Without fail. I don't know one of them that still blames their parents for the problems they have.
Amen.
Without fail, I don't know one of them that still points their mom and dad and says, you're the ones that did this to me. You're the ones that hurt me. You're the ones that wounded me. There's a thing called forgiveness in the Word of God.
Amen.
A young lady testified to us just recently. And she really came to the realization that if she could forgive others, Jesus Christ could forgive her. And she said the next verse that came to her mind is, our sins and iniquities will be remembered no more.
Amen.
Washed us in his own blood. Gave us the forgiveness of sins. And then we learned to forgive others. So many folks discontented because of their upbringing. Bitter with their parents. Bitter with the things that took place in their life. I got a dear friend of mine. Lives very near our home. A dear brother in Christ. He was raised in foster homes. Raised in all kinds of foster homes. But he speaks of, I believe he's a 10-year-old boy. He was with a foster family. They took him down to the house of God. And he said there in the plight of his life and the vileness of the abuse that he had faced and all the awfulness that he dealt with in foster homes, he said for the first time in his life, he saw the glorious light of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He said, I want that. I want that light.
Amen.
I want that man, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He said he went back to the foster homes and the abuse continued and the vileness continued. And finally, he got with the family, was adopted. They took him down to the house of God. At the age of about 15 years old in the house of God, he realized there's a God in heaven who could take that hurt away and take that pain away and give him forgiveness of those that had hurt him and forgive those that had wounded him, forgive those that had destroyed him. And he said he walked the altar there in the church of God, amen, back when they used to preach, and got gloriously saved by the marvelous grace of God. He found forgiveness in all his hurt.
Praise God.
Amen.
He didn't have to blame anybody else.
Yeah.
And then some of you raised in good homes.
Yep.
Some of you raised in Christian homes. I didn't say perfect. I said Christian homes.
Right.
And all you can see is the fault of your parents, the fault of their life, the destruction of your family. You can't see beyond that to realize there's a God in heaven who take that hurt away, take that pain away, seat you in heavenly places. He went out. And by the way, that'll preach an entire message in itself. He went out. I told a man recently that I love dearly. He's probably listening. I told him recently, I said, brother, you need to go back to the place where you lost contact with God.
Amen. Amen.
You know where some of you need to be? Where you lost contact with God. I'm not going to point anybody out, but Stephen, I told you in Samantha's testimony, that beautiful U-Haul. You say, how did God use a U-Haul? You don't want to know. Amen.
Yeah.
To put him in the house of God.
Amen.
God in his mercy. God in his love.
Amen.
To seat us in the house of God. I don't recommend this, but God used a girl to get me back in church.
Sure.
Got into conviction. I got troubled about my soul.
Right.
God saved me after attending the house of God with all the wrong motives. You know why? The grace of God hath appeared to all men.
Amen.
All. When he spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. And he began to be in want. Now all of a sudden, it's not what he thought it was going to be. He began to be in want. The liquor's run out. The dope's run out. The food is running out. There's a mighty famine in that far country. And he begins to be in want. He had everything he needed. But he thought he needed more. He was not content with such things as he had. And he said, if I could just have a little bit more. If I could just have something more. Give me what's coming to me. I'll make my way in this world. And when he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. And notice this, and no man gave unto him.
There's a lost soul who's tired of his sinning, and he longs to return to the Lord as he cries for forgiveness and mercy. God is waiting.
You have been listening to the Daily Doctrine Podcast with Evangelist Tim McVeigh. For correspondence, please contact us through our website and someevangelists.com and use the contact form to connect with us. You may also subscribe to the podcast through our website or search for Daily Doctrine, Evangelist Tim McVeigh, on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, or Amazon. To write to us, please use our church address, which is Manasseh Community Baptist Church, 70 Back Hollow Road, Blaine, Pennsylvania, 17006. Thank you for listening, and we pray that the Lord will help each of us as we study and preach the Word of God. Don't forget to subscribe and tune in tomorrow. And remember to look up, for your redemption draweth nigh.
There only was strife. Now the angels of God are rejoicing, for the prodigal child has come home, and the saints all with gladness are singing. The glorious song of the Redeemer.